League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This podcast contains strong language and adult themes from the outset. Welcome back to Finding the Funny. This is the podcast where two sisters get together every week. And, well, what do we do, Ange?
We basically chat a lot of shit about a lot of random stuff. We cover a spectrum of, dickish behaviours and, just a lot of general chit-chat that you'd have with your own mates. But come along and listen to us.
So grab a cuppa, get cosy and stick around for the next half an hour. You never know, Ange, what might it be?
Right up your strata. With Ruth and Ange, the
finding the funny. Right, I've got a big question for you straight off the bat.
Right, go on then.
How do you feel about an untoasted hot cross bun?
No.
Right. I'm doing this for the first time.
No. Flatline, no.
I'm currently eating an untoasted hot cross bun.
And is it disgusting?
No.
Disgusting.
It is absolutely fucking delicious.
No. Yeah. That is not. No.
It's amazing.
You should try it. No. I will not. I shall not. I will forever toast. I will. You should always toast a hot cross bun, a muffin, and while we're on this train, because for anyone who follows me on the gram, I went crumpet-tastic yesterday.
You lost your shit over crumpets.
I mean, you know, like,
you went crazy.
I had a real urge. Yesterday, I was like, I've got to get a crumpet.
Were they bunny shaped though?
No, they were just your bog standard circulars.
Ridiculous.
But I remember a while back someone saying to me, Ange, have you tried honey on a crumpet?
Well, when you put that up, I was like, holy shit, I got to try this.
Oh my good God. Honestly, it is. Yeah. I made myself two crumpets with honey on.
Yeah.
Devoured them in just like, you know.
Went back in for two more.
I had to go for one. I went one more. I actually had a few messages with one of our listeners, Mel.
Shout out to Mel.
And I basically, because she sent one just saying, when the ooze drips through those holes.
The ooze.
I actually found myself getting slightly aroused.
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah, you were like, crumpets. Shit, this is turning me on.
Crumpets are sexual.
Yeah.
I don't get, especially, I think the sexual vibe is when it drips down your chin. When you get a drip, that's
how
when I'm
would
like,
you,
ooh.
How would you feel if Ian asked you on a date night and presented you with crumpets? I think that would change.
No. If he said to me, Ange, darling, do you want to colour crumpets with some bar and honey? All over it. If he says to me, Ange, should we have a date night with a couple of crumpets? No, Ian,
no,
we shall not.
Fuck off.
Yeah.
So, well, if you're new around here and you don't know what we're talking about, that was from a previous episode. And if you're new, it's lovely to have you. If you've stuck around, if you've joined us because we were on New and Noteworthy and you're still here, thank you so much. You've probably realised now that we get together every week and we just chat about the things that we find funny. Mm. If you don't already, we're both on social media. You can find us both on Instagram. I'm at Ruth Corden.
And I'm at Ange Corden. And you can also find us on Facebook. Just search Finding the Funny Podcast. Or you can send us an email. hello@ruthcorden.com.
Anyway, listen, shall we?
Let's do the big question.
Oh, yeah.
With a sort of slightly different vibe.
Yeah, different vibe. Okay, we had a question in this week from Amanda on Facebook. And Amanda simply asks, do you think you're a good kisser? Yes.
Hell yes, baby.
What? Right, okay, I'm going to broaden this question. What do you think makes a good kisser? Are you in your sensual vibes?
You got to be slow. You got to take it slow.
You got to take it slow.
Do you know what I cannot stand? Is a rammer. You know.
Oh, like God, that can be taken so...
I'm talking just
we're
kissing.
We're talking
here,
kissing,
not
here,
anything
guys.
Else.
We're talking kissing.
But you know, especially kind of now when you see like programs like Love Island, Married at First Sight, where you actually see a lot of the older, you know, action happening.
Yeah.
And some people are just literally like, well, they sort of suction on and then just ram. Blah, 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 blah. Like that. I just can't. No, you do not kiss like that. I feel like I could give a lot of lessons.
If you were ever an actor and you were doing a kissing scene, would you slip in a bit of tongue?
Oh, for shiz.
Would you be tonguing it? Would you?
Well, I think you've got to, if you're acting, you've got to really...
Often use tongues, do they?
Well, I would.
It'd be straight in there. You'd be saying, look, you've got to see, you've got a kissing scene with me, you're incredibly lucky.
You are.
I tackled this on my podcast.
Yes.
Listen, Hugh Grant, I am an exceptional kisser, Hugh.
Exactly, Hugh.
I'm probably going to be one of the best you've ever had.
Yeah, so you ain't gonna forget this.
I am going to slip in a bit of tongue.
Yeah, just a little slow, you know,
gentle
caress.
Now, what about a head turn?
Yeah, I think you've got to go with a head turn.
You do a head turn.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Sort of starts one way and moves
and
to the other way.
Yeah, you got to. Your other question is, have you ever kissed anybody who keeps their eyes open?
I don't think so.
Have you ever kissed with your eyes open? Because that's a bit weird, I think.
No, I don't. I mean, I think you've got to go in open-eyed and then you close.
You've got to see what's coming.
Yeah.
Because if they're a rammer, you can pull back.
Yeah, exactly. You've got to know, okay, what am I going in for here? Eyes open. Is it going to be good? Yes, it is closed.
If you're listening, Bojo, and you want to sign us up for the National Curriculum Sex Ed... We are both very much available and can talk about all this stuff quite freely. You know, your eyes open, you go in, you go in, you go in, you go in, you kiss, you close.
In with a little bit of tongue, a little bit of a caress, move the head and finish off and come out. Great.
So... Yeah. In answer to your question, Amanda, I think we've given you reason to believe.
We've given a lot of food for thought there, I think.
We're not just good kissers, we're fucking exceptional.
We are, yeah. So... And, you know, the people that have had the pleasure of us, you know, over our many years.
If you listen, don't bother messaging in. If anybody's ever kissed us, don't bother. This isn't a call to action. This is just, we're just leaving this here and saying that we are both exceptional kissers.
Yeah.
So, Ange, what's been getting on your shitting tits?
The thing that is getting on my shitting tits are motorbikes. Predominantly... The really loud, beefy ones. Do you know the ones I mean?
Well, I actually think the other thing that is annoying is any kind of car.
With the whole kind of
subwoofer. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. So, a few weeks ago, our cat did a runner. And I went round to try and get him. And he was hiding... under a car, absolutely terrified, not really been out, goes in our garden, not really ventured very much further.
Yeah.
A fucking Subaru.
Oh, yeah, those cars.
Subaru Impreza rocks up.
rum,
like going fucking mental. Yeah. And my cat is literally like, honestly, shitting himself.
Yeah.
He's like, his ears, I'm like crouched down going, it's okay, it's just a car. Obviously thinking, you can't understand me, but I'm going to keep saying it because it brings comfort to me instead, you bastard. It's okay, it's just a car. His ears, and this guy, and then some... guy comes out of his house and he's looking at it and he's like, oh God, yeah, this is fucking sick, man. And they just keep revving. They just keep revving. Like, and I was so close to turning around going, okay, listen, heard one fucking rev, heard them all, mate. Yeah, it sounds exactly the same. Just turn it off.
Yeah.
Also, what about
that,
go on.
That real, it's a really loud, there's this one motorbike, right? And this is where it was doing the rounds. Then it went away, pissed off, like, great, it's gone. He's back doing the fucking rounds around here. And he just comes down our road like he's on a bloody, you know, some kind of motorbike speedway or something.
He's on like a Grand Prix track.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I really want to catch him.
What, and do what?
I don't know what I'll do when I catch him, but I want to catch him at some point. Because he's just so annoying. And I think as well, like, I've had it when I've been on a motorway. Right. And they come like, I've actually jumped in my seat.
Because he's come up behind
so
you.
So loud.
Yeah.
I'm like, shit, what is that? And then it's like, oh, it's a fucking motorbike, isn't it? Or some Subaru Impreza or some cricket, a massive vehicle. It's just, I just can't, I hate them. And they really, really irritate me.
Yeah. What about when you go to, I mean, this is probably pre-COVID, but when you'd rock up at a supermarket, perhaps later in the evening.
Yeah.
And there'd just be like a gang of people.
Hanging out.
Just looking in each other's cars.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, I love a car. I watch Car Wow.
Yeah. You do love a car. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I love it. But you rock up and they're like, you know, 18, 19.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, fuck. Oh, shit. No, rev that again. Oh, that is sick, bruv.
And they've got all, like, you know, basically the whole back of the car is just a massive speaker.
Yeah.
You know, they've emptied out the seats and shit. It's just a big subwoofer in the back of their car.
And it's got, like,
Tesco car park.
And it's got an exhaust that's like 35 inches wide.
That's the thing that makes all the noise.
Super low. Like,
oh, yeah.
And then you look at it and you're like, mate, it's a V-Reg Saxo. You've lowered. You've paid out to lower a V-Reg Saxo. You've had it spray painted black. It was clearly yellow. You've had your mate do a bodge black job on it, so it looks slightly cool.
Yeah.
You've got your subwoofer.
Yeah.
And then
massive exhaust.
You can't see them over the seat because their seats are so low as well.
Also, I think for those sort of vehicles, how the hell are you getting over the speed bumps?
Yeah,
I mean, those are the cars you get stuck behind because they have to literally stop.
Yes.
Like, you're like, shit, I'm behind one of those.
Oh,
so they stop. They just very gently over it. Bang, I'm gone. Stop. Off we go again.
And they've always got, like, you know, it's a lowered V-Reg Citroen Saxo and they've got like 42-inch wheels on it. They're just like, mate, you know, do you understand how shit this looks?
But I think that's the thing. When you're 18, 19,
you think
that's all you've got,
cool,
isn't it? I mean, you know, you don't own a house. I mean, they just ply everything into their vehicle. Because actually,
you know, when you're 18, 19, what are you going to think, Pat? What else have you got in your life? Really?
I mean, they probably spend a lot of time in their vehicles.
Oh, yeah, well, that's all they've got, isn't it?
That's exactly.
It's all they've got. Okay, should we go on to some dickish behaviour?
Let's do some dickish.
We had a dickish behaviour in from Kim on Instagram, and she's just very simply said, people who call themselves foodies.
Dicks.
Surely we're all foodies. Because we all need food.
Eat
like,
food.
Why are people going around?
I think it's they think they're a higher class.
Yeah, oh, yeah, it's like higher echelons.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a foodie, and I quite often sort of, you know, the really sort of top end, high end restaurants. you know, they talk like that. You know, they just think they are another level of people who eat food.
Oh no, I don't eat that because I'm a food. No, God, no. What you think I've ever eaten in the Nando's? No, I'm a foodie. You obviously don't understand. It's in my Instagram bio and everything. Self-professed foodie. Did you know, talking of food, did you know that Will.i.am doesn't chew food on a Monday?
What?
Yeah, he's a self-professed liquidarian, they're called. And on a, on a Monday, he blends his food. And he will not chew on a Monday. So he gets all his nutrients from blended food. So if he'd have had that untoasted crumpet, he'd have blended it. Did you know that?
I mean, no. Yeah. What did you say he calls himself or what?
A liquidarian. Yeah.
I mean, what a crock of shit that is.
He blends his food on a Monday. And then the rest of the week, what I want to know is, what does he do on bank holidays?
does he take the day off
and think, I'm going to chew today?
That is just weird shit, isn't it?
It really is. What my question is how do you get there?
Yeah.
Like, what's the process? Like, how do you start calling yourself a foodie? Is it like...
Yeah.
Oh, no, I mean, I went to Pizza Express. It was fucking disgusting. That's the only thing. You know, is there a particular meal you get to and you go, fuck this, I'm not chewing. I'm not chewing on a Monday anymore. That can do one.
And why a Monday? I mean, maybe it's the start of the week thing. You know, maybe it's a heavy weekend
of cleansing.
A lot of chewing on a weekend, straight in with a sort of, I ain't chewing today malarkey. Yeah. I think a lot of this foodie shit has come about through your MasterChefs.
Nice observation, Ange.
I caught a little bit of that last night, right?
A little bit.
And, like, the way they talk about the food.
Yeah.
And today, Charlotte's made a herb-crusted pork loin with a caramelized carrot and cabbage jus and some parmentier potatoes and herbs and garlic, all finished off with a nice little pot of mash on the side. I mean, they wouldn't say mash, would they? They'd say pot of riced potatoes. You know, I think that has led to this foodie shit, this kind of chat
about... It's Wentworth Road and the other one, can never remember his name.
Wallace.
It's also when they eat it, isn't it?
Yes.
They're like, you know, the way they dissect it, they can't just like cut it normally. They have to like smash it all over the plate. They like get their fork in. They just like throw it all over the plate so they can get right in. Yeah. They take a bit and they're like, yeah, you see, that's all shit. I wish that is what they did.
It's also like the way... Have you seen how Wallace puts the spoon in his mouth? He really, like, opens his mouth really wide.
Straight in.
The spoon. And then the lips go round the spoon. Like, the whole lot comes back off the spoon. And it's that whole, like, drama around
food
eating.
Drama.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's your Frama.
But yeah, I think MasterChef does have a lot to answer for.
It does. I do think that has kind of a jus on.
It's got a jus on.
Jus, your rice potatoes, your herb crustings, your smear. They love a smear.
Yeah, when they like smear like the mash or celeriac.
That's a big one.
Celeriac smear. Yeah.
Do it with like some guy. If I do like a dessert, and they'll do it with like
like a custard smear.
It just looks like you smeared shit on the plate. How is that appealing? We had a message in here, and we're going to keep this person anonymous. And the message was, How do you manage parenting when you totally disagree with your partner? We have a situation going on with our 18-year-old son, and his dad can't see how what he is saying to him is affecting his confidence. He thinks he's doing it to tell the truth, and I'm stuck in the middle, and it's just not helping. That I think, is a situation that happens in numerous households.
Oh, yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
I've definitely had it in our household. Because, you know, you just... If I take this as a... going on my own experience and what I've had, what we have had to do with in our household, is that Ian and I parent in very different ways because we're different people. We've been brought up in different ways.
Yeah.
So
different life experiences.
Exactly. In a very different way. And there have been times where we have totally disagreed on how we parent, you know, one of our children, predominantly probably more Joel in the last few years, just because of his age. You know, he's 18 now, so, you know, his life in the last few years has become very different. He's much more independent. He wants to be going out, although pre-COVID. So we have had these moments exactly like this person is talking about, where Ian will come at it one way, I'll come at it another, and we both just cannot agree how to manage a situation, whatever that might be. And yeah, I just think it is very difficult.
I mean, every age has a stage, doesn't it, with parenting? And I think it probably I've worked with young people now, God, 15 years plus, probably.
Yeah.
I know, I don't look old enough, guys. I know, thanks.
No, you don't, Pat.
But I think, you know, the real thing that you have to do with teenagers is roots and wings. That's the biggest thing that you're giving them.
Yeah.
Because you've got to, you know, teenagers need more autonomy. Brain development is massive in those years.
Yeah,
you know, if you look at child development, you know, we know 0 to 5 is absolutely, the brain is developing so quickly. It's huge. But if you put a baby in a cot, they stay there and they don't talk back.
Yeah,
so whilst
exactly.
that brain is developing, they're still completely dependent on you. You know exactly where they are. You know exactly. And then you it slows down a bit, and then you fast forward to adolescence and you see exactly the same high level development, brain changes speed up again. But the difference is, if you tell a 15-year-old to stay in their room, they'll tell you to F off and stick two fingers up at you and say, I'm going out anyway. So you've got this rapid development. You've got all of their emotions. You've got puberty. You've got, you know, that their sort of verbal reasoning, all of that stuff is going nuts at that age in their brain. And actually, that's why young people sleep in longer. Lots of parents don't realize that. But you know, there is so much brain development happening that the reason your 16, 17-year-old doesn't get out of bed till midday is because they need it. They absolutely need more sleep. The brain develops very differently. It's so rapid that I think teenage years is so hard. And I think the most important thing you've got to do with teenagers is that roots and wings. You know, we all need that. We need wings to explore. Young people have to have autonomy. Young people aren't being difficult when you know, God, I remember our parents saying to us, you think you know everything. You know, the amount of times mum would say, like 14, 15, 16, well, if you think you know best, you go off and do it because you seem to know everything. But that like the world begins and ends at the end of my nose in teenagers is vitally important because it's them exploring their autonomy. It's them, you know, understanding the world around them. They have to be selfish to survive. There is, you know, there's a very survival instinct in teenage years, but that becomes so difficult, doesn't it?
Oh God.
And when you watch somebody that you love, be that your sister or your brother or your child or your spouse or your partner or whatever, engaging in something that you don't agree with, challenging that is so difficult.
It really is. And I think one thing that I think I've learnt over those years, and I probably had to learn it a little bit the hard way, is to not let your teenager or, you know, young adult see your parents kind of at loggerheads. I think that is like something I did have to sort of learn that the hard way, because I found myself, you know, in those moments where Joel is kind of wanting to push the boundaries and do something, I'm going at it one way, Ian's going at it another, we end up then arguing about that in front of him. That's it. You've game lost over. It. Like, we've lost, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that was one thing I would say to you know, any parents or any, you know, people that are living with young adults and having to kind of navigate these sort of years, is as hard as it is, and I've had to bite my tongue several times, several hundred times probably, is like, however much you might disagree, don't let your young adult teenager see that or be part of that. Like, yes, you can disagree about it. And yes, maybe that is part of the process, is that I've learned things about how I might do things through Ian and vice versa. And we've had to kind of figure that out. But the minute that becomes a discussion that includes your child, it's just, so I would just sort of say, whatever your disagreements are about managing the situation that you're in, try and have them away from your child, and try and have them in a way that can be helpful or constructive, because you are going to come at this in very different angles, in different ways. That's human nature, because you're different people. So I think that's definitely something I've kind of had to learn over those years. And I think, for me, just trying to keep that communication with them, you know, it is, those years are tough. Those teenage years are really tough and can be really difficult. And I just think if you can, you know, keep that communication open, I find, you know, you've got to try and find a way of getting in touch with the things they're interested in. Might not be something I'm actually interested in, whether that's music, films, gaming, whatever it is, you know, try and kind of find them and reach them at their level, because actually that makes a huge difference as to how they then will communicate with you or what they'll talk to you about. And that, I really try that.
Yeah, I would say, you know, if I was in this situation, I would, you know, if I was the mum, I'd go to the dad and say, okay, let's really draw this down then. Let's try your way for 2 weeks and see what happens, and I won't interfere. And then we'll try my way for 2 weeks and you don't interfere, and we see where we're at with him at the end of a month. You know, there's other things like communication books are really, really helpful in teenage years. You know, stuff can become very heightened when we verbally discuss things. It very quickly can turn into an argument. If you have a book that you write down what you're feeling, and you read it and you write back, or one of you then says, look, let's open the book and see what we need to talk about. You know, writing stuff down, taking that like extreme heat, and that's the problem. You know, teenagers, I think teenagers get a really hard time because of their perhaps impulsivity, because of their kind of trying and testing new things. But it is so important to that brain development. You know, they are more impulsive. They're like, there's a stat that they're something like 58 times more impulsive than adults or something, because of what is going on and the way that the brain is working and changing. But there's some brilliant places you can go to. There's a charity called The Mix. They work with young people up to the age of 25. They deal with everything from claiming benefits, getting jobs, right the way through to addiction and eating disorders. And they, you know, they are a really, really great resource. So they're called The Mix. You can find them online. And Young Minds have an absolutely fantastic parent helpline that you can phone. They're open 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday to Friday. And if you need to get some kind of, you know, parental advice that is one step removed, that is objective, that is a really, really, really great resource. But I think trying to immerse yourself in understanding why young people respond and react the way that they do is really, really important.
Crucial.
And, you know, young people, they're not doing it to be difficult. You know, they're doing it because it's a new developmental stage for them.
Yeah.
And they're trying to learn the world around them.
Yeah. And I would just, you know, I'd probably finish by just saying, you know, as hard, as difficult, as tricky as those years can be, ultimately, they you just need to love them. Love them through. That's it, right. You know, however, whatever it might be, however difficult it is, they, you know, and they might think that I don't need you, I don't need your love. They do, and it's just that, you know, another level of, you know, I don't really want to be with you, and I don't like you. And fine, you don't have to like me, but I am going to love you, and I will love you through whatever this is.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, there we go.
Well, look, we've come to the end of another episode. You can find us on social media. Instagram, I'm at Ruth Corden.
And I'm at Ange Corden. You can find us on Facebook. Search Finding the Funny Podcast. Or you can send us an email. hello@ruthcorden.com.
But we hope you have a fantastic week. And we'll be back right here next week, helping you to find more of the funny.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.